1 Corinthians chapter number 9. We're going to start in verse number 19. And this may be, I don't know, this may be the last week we talk about walking uprightly. We'll see how far we get this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, we're going to start in verse number 19. The Bible says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Let's pray, and we'll get into this lesson this morning. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I don't take it lightly. Lord, I want to just be a help more than anything. Lord, most folks here this morning have been able to conquer this, and Lord, I pray that you would just continue to help us. Lord, this is a daily battle. I know for me it's a daily battle to keep under my body and to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to make this a daily thing, that we just strive to honor you with everything we do, everything we say, and not have the appetites of our flesh control us. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to look at this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we talked about walking uprightly is a matter of the heart. And it's not a group decision. It's not a something that all of us together, we're going to put our heads together and say, let's just decide to walk uprightly. No, walking uprightly is a matter of your personal heart. And it's a matter of you have to walk uprightly. I have to decide to walk uprightly. You can't decide for me that you're going to walk uprightly for me. And I can't decide for you that I'm going to walk uprightly for you. It's a matter of your heart, and you have to make that decision. And when you make that personal decision, it takes care of a lot of other things that come about. And so we're going to, and I touched on this briefly last week, but the thing about self-discipline, there is no self-discipline in America anymore, even among Christians, okay? If they want something, they just go and get it, all right? And there is no abstinence about anything. And honestly, that's one of the major problems that we're having is, and it's like I told the young people, most sin, and I think I said this last week, most sin is not necessarily a wrong thing, okay? Most sin is a good thing at the wrong time. And it's not that God doesn't want us to have things. It's that God has a timeline that he says, this is when you can have this, and we want things before God wants us to have it. And so self-discipline. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, especially in the first few verses we took there, verse 19 through 23. Basically, Paul is saying, I have become all things to all men. I can relate to all people. Now, he's not saying I'm going to go out and I'm going to go drink just so I can relate to an alcoholic. Okay, that's not what he's saying. And if you look at verse 21, it says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. So he's not saying I'm without law, you know, I'm going to go kill somebody just so I can really understand how a murderer feels. Okay, that's not what Paul's saying here. All right, and he's saying and if you look at Paul's pedigree, it's amazing how God has chosen Paul to do what he has called Paul to do. Okay, and you think about, and honestly, Paul had witnessed a lot of murder, if you would. You know, because of what Paul had been called out of, Paul had been specifically chosen to do a lot of things. But Paul wasn't reveling in the fact that he had done those things. He just said, I can relate to these people. But that was the first part. But in verse number 24, it starts into a thing. It says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" So anytime you have a race, and this is another philosophy that they have taken away from us today in America, is, you know, they want to give everybody participation prizes, okay? Well, you ran, so, you know, here's an award just for running. No, that's that kind of defeats the purpose of encouraging somebody to do their best. And the Bible talks about it, and I use this, I taught this, I've been teaching this in Master's Club too. It's kind of nice to have, you know, I teach a lot of things in a lot of different areas. But in young people don't have any self-discipline. And because of that, you know, everybody wants, you know, you've got a kid that can't refrain from drinking pop and can't refrain from eating whatever he wants to eat, and then he loses a race, okay, because he's completely out of shape, all right? So follow me with this illustration. He loses, and we give him, well, here's a candy bar just for running. Well, yeah, you're helping him a lot, okay? And what defines somebody that is a winner versus somebody that is a loser? You know what second place is? First place loser. Okay? That's what second place is. And now, well, Brother Chad, that's harsh. Okay. Well, you know what it is? If, you know, Brother Frank, that, you know, if they're racing, if it's in a race, a car race, and, you know, the congratulations, you're second place, you may get some points for being second place. Okay, and that, and there's a points thing that they have in racing too, but at the same time, you're not the winner. And you know, so if you're not the winner and you constantly, constantly, constantly are getting beat, you know what that drives you to do? What do I have to tweak? What do I have to modify to get that extra horsepower? What do I have to do to increase my chances of winning? And you know what? Sometimes it's, well, maybe taking off a little weight to make it lighter, so I can go faster without burning so much fuel. You know, and it's sacrificing something to obtain something else. And we don't have that in America anymore. Everybody's like, here, just, you know, well, thanks for running. Here's a participation award. Well, you're never going to be a winner, okay, if all you do is you appease your flesh. And I told the young people, you know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews, there's a lot of things that are just weights, okay? I'm not a super fast guy. All right, but I'm not. I wouldn't be considered. You know, you line everybody up. I wouldn't be considered the slowest. Does that make sense? All right, I'm not going to necessarily win all the time just because I may not be the fastest. And I honestly, I don't try. You know what I mean? All right, most of us, you really wouldn't. You know, you go out here with the kids, and they're like, "Come on, let's race." You know, you'd be like, "All right, on your mark, get set, go." And they take off, and you're just walking, okay? Because you know what? At this point in life, it really doesn't matter who gets there first, you know? It's kind of the turtle and the hare, you know, Aesop's fables. You know, you'll get there, just not as fast, okay? And honestly, a lot of times, wisdom does a lot for you in life versus speed. So just keep plugging along. That's fine. But what happens is, we try to run these races, and we carry so many things with us. I remember who it was. One of the preachers this week talked about when they get ready to leave the house, and their kids are going through the house. I think it was Brother Jesse. No, it was Brother Jesse when he was talking about running. And the kids go through the house, and they're picking up all of these things to take with them. Well, that's a weight. They're being encumbered. And as a Christian, to walk uprightly, you have to say no to a lot of things, okay? That's self-discipline. And self-discipline is a big part of walking uprightly. When was the last time you wanted something, and just because of self-discipline, you told yourself no? Most of us don't do that, all right? And last week, I used the illustration of Mountain Dew. But when was the last thing you wanted to look at something, and you told yourself no? And I'm going to draw this to a conclusion that is kind of scary here in a minute for us. When was the last time you wanted to listen to something and you just told yourself no? Okay? Well, I just listen. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, conservative radio. Okay. But you listen to too much of it and it's going to start affecting your mind. Okay? Well, there's nothing, you know, well, hang on. When was the last time a simple self-discipline thing. When was the last time you wanted to eat something and you told yourself no? You know, a lot of illnesses can be fixed by simple diet adjustments. Now, nobody liked hearing Lester Roloff preach against your Pepsi, okay, or coffee or whatever, all right? Nobody likes Lester Roloff because of that. But he had some pretty good things. Now, he died in an airplane crash, you know, so, I mean, I don't know. but there are some good things about eating right. And a lot of people's problems with not having health, with having health issues, is a simple lack of self-discipline, all right? But walking uprightly, and I keep going back to this walking uprightly is disciplining yourself and then being able, because of that, you're going to stick out. Well, why don't you have this? Why don't you have this thing that you enjoy? Because it's self-discipline, all right? Things you want to do that you say, no, I'm not going to do that. Things you don't want to do, and this is the other side. There's some things that, you know, my body doesn't like exercise, all right? Well, Brother Chad, you don't need to exercise. Exercise is good for anybody, all right? If you honestly, we were playing knockerball at this last youth conference, and for those of you that don't know what knockerball is, sometimes bubble soccer, they call it different things, but basically you get in these orbs. So what it is you strap this harness on, and you're inside a 4-foot plastic bubble that's got air in it, okay, and you can see through it. So what the goal, there's technically a goal to this, but what the goal is you play soccer wearing these things, okay, these 4-foot balls. And you think, oh, that's no big deal. Well, first of all, everybody says soccer is an easy sport. Soccer, in my opinion, is one of the best physical shapes of any sport there is to play soccer. Now, they call them grass fairies. And, you know, there's a lot of names people call soccer players. But they are, I mean, to run nonstop all the time. You know, football, you know the reason that they line up on a line in football is not really for the sport. It's just so those fat guys in the front have time to take a breath, okay? That's the only... Those guys are down there. Okay? And that's why they do it, okay? Then they just try to incorporate it in the sport. Have you ever seen a fat soccer player? Okay? I'm sorry, but you don't. They are 100 miles an hour the whole game, all right? Well, anyway, so I'm getting back to my soccer thing. So we're playing soccer in these orbs, okay? Now, at some point, you know, our guys really like this game because there is no athletic ability involved, which is good for our guys because most of them don't really have much athletic ability. I mean, they're fairly physically fit. They can go work, but they don't really know how to play sports. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'd rather have a kid that can go out and build something than to set a trophy on a wall someplace, okay? I'm fine with that. But on the other hand, you know, you go to some youth conferences and they don't know how to play basketball, really. You know, they're foul machines. They foul out in the first 5 minutes, okay? That's what they are, and I'm okay with that. But this game, they like this game, okay? Because I don't know if any of our guys ever actually kicked the ball, okay? They got hit by the ball just because it was in the way, but they never kicked the ball. Their theory in playing this game is you go out and you knock everybody else down, and then you kick the ball, okay? And that's what it is. I mean, you just run full force. I mean, you start at one end, and you run as hard as you can, and you run into the opposite team, okay? And because you got these balls around you, it's like a huge collision, and bodies fly everywhere, okay? And it's really fun. But my problem was I got out there, and I'm dying, okay? I'm like, you know, it's like your kidneys feel like they're going to come out or something. And then you're in this orb, okay? And it's really, we were playing inside this last time, but playing outside is terrible because you are like literally in a greenhouse, okay? Because there's no airflow and you've got two walls of plastic with sun shining through it, okay? Does that make sense? So you are like, it's like 120 degrees in there. And you can't see. There's sweat. There's your sweat, other people's sweat from the previous person that was playing the game. You know, blood. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff inside these things. And, you know, you're just running as hard as you can, running into people. But I'm dying up there. And it's like, man, I am not. But what is that? Because I haven't I haven't kept up with running. Okay, I'm not conditioned to do that. And because of that, it's a lack of self-discipline on my part. All right, I should go out and I should stay in good shape to physically be able to do that. But what is, you say, Brother Chad, how does this have to do with walking uprightly? Well, walking uprightly, if you're going to stand out and you're going to do what's right as a Christian, you have to practice self-discipline. You have to practice self-discipline. If you don't have self-discipline, anytime an attraction comes along, anytime you want to do something, you're going to fall down to that, okay? And you're going to be subject to falling down to that. So walking uprightly requires self-discipline. I do a nursing home once a month, and I want you to think about this. Because many times we think, well, I have control of that. I can handle this. And a lot of times it's a sin. Now listen to me, because this is very important. This is applicable to all of us in here, okay? Myself included. What happens is we think we have control. I've got this under control. When the fact of the matter is, you don't have it under control, okay? You think you can manage this. Well, I've got this sin that I can manage. And the fact of the matter is, many times we try to manage a sin and keep that sin. Well, for instance, I've got this thing that, you know, I've got this besetting sin, or let's use a very physical thing. I like this certain whatever. I'll use myself again. I like Mountain Dew, okay? I like this stuff, all right? But it's not good for me, and I know it's not good for me. All right, and I know it makes me sick if I drink too much of it. I've done it over and over. I've done it 3 or 4 times. I've gotten pretty sick because I've drank too much. Well, I know this is not good for me. Does that make sense? I know it, but I refuse to give this up because my flesh craves it. My flesh wants it. And this could be anything. Well, I refuse. I know this movie, these TV shows are not good for me. But I refuse to give it up because my flesh craves it. I know that this internet site is not good for me. I know what I'm looking at is not good for me, but my flesh craves it. And I can handle this. I can handle this. Now, let me use this as an illustration. You know, the people in the nursing home, you've got a large cross-section of people. Now, I want you to think about this. There are people in the nursing home that are very sharp mentally. And then there are people that are in the nursing home that are physically in pretty good health. But mentally, it's not there. Does that make sense? So that's kind of your two extremes there. And then there's some that mentally and physically just aren't able. I mean, that's the reason they're there. Because they require care, okay? Let me. You know, it's funny. You go into the nursing home sometimes, and you'll find an older person. I'm just going to use this illustration. You'll find an older person picking their nose. Okay, now that's a really simple illustration. Or you'll find an older person doing something. You're like, they shouldn't be doing that. That's weird. Okay. Now listen. You know why some of that is? I want you to pay attention and listen because this is true. A lot of that is they've had a habit their whole life and they've never gotten rid of something. But in their mind, they've always mentally been able to control something. But what happens when you mentally can't control that anymore? And your mental capabilities aren't there to control that. What then? Evidence comes out that something's been there this whole time. I think somebody in here told me they had a relation that they was like 80, maybe it was Brother Don. It was like 80 years. It wasn't Brother Don that did this. Brother Don told me about this. But I think it was somebody that sucked their fingers. Was that you that told me? They was like 80 years old and they still sucked their fingers. Okay? Like a little kid does. Okay? Well, why? Some of that is, you know why? They never kicked that habit. And yet, well, Brother Chad, I got this under control. What happens when you no longer are able to keep it under control? Okay? And you think about that. And it's something to consider. Well, nobody knows I watched this. Somebody will. It'll come out. Be sure. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. That's why self-discipline is important. Let's go to, there's other things that self-discipline is important. Numbers chapter number 12. The Bible talks about a man, and this is something I talk to young people about. But Numbers chapter number 12, we're going to look at Moses. Numbers chapter 12, verse number 1. Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And we could continue to read this story. And basically what's happened here is Moses probably did something that honestly he shouldn't necessarily have done. Okay, and there's a reason that Miriam and Aaron were speaking against him, honestly. I believe, you know, I'm not going to go into the marrying, you know, intermarrying of races. But there are some principles there I think that we should observe. Okay, I've got some illustrations of consequences of this, and we're not going to go, that's not what I'm talking about this morning, so we're not going to go into it. But the Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, okay? So they're rising up against Moses because of this. Now, it's interesting, and I think men of God have to be, and I have to be careful about this, we got to be careful about defending ourselves, okay? Because defending ourselves isn't necessarily, you know, if you're doing what's right, God, and you're in the center of God's will, God has an amazing way of defending us, okay? Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, okay? But these, Moses and Aaron have come up to, Aaron and Miriam have come up to Moses, and they're saying things against Moses. And Moses, for here, doesn't defend himself. But in verse number 3, the Bible says, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. What is meekness? Meekness is simply strength under control, basically. Okay? And you think about the man Moses, all right? He was not, you know, he said he was slow of tongue, but God gave him another tongue. And he could have honestly ripped Aaron and Miriam about this. Okay? Moses wasn't bashful, you know, about what he would say. And we got to be careful because we learn from the life of Moses, just because you can say things, folks, doesn't mean you should say things, okay? Just because you can do things or you have the ability to do things doesn't mean you should do things, okay? That's what meekness is. Meekness is strength. I have this ability, okay? I have the ability a lot of times. There's a lot of things that go on up here in my life that I think that should never come out here, okay? People say, bro, Chad, you're really quiet sometimes. That's good. Because you don't know what I want to say sometimes. And I'm just being honest with you, okay? Just because, you back down for somebody in a verbal dispute, maybe. Or maybe I was just exhibiting self-control. Because there are a lot of things that I can verbally... You want to get in a battle of wits, okay? Have you ever played chess with somebody that knows like 5 moves or 6 moves in advance? I'm not a chess person as far as the board. But you want to go to battle with a wit thing and sarcasm? We can go to battle with that. Because there's a lot of things I should not say that I could say. Okay? But you know what? Most Christians, you just say whatever, you know, the gossip, whatever you heard. You know, most gossip is not true or has a very small element of truth in it. Well, you know what I heard? Just keep your mouth shut. Okay? And I'm not necessarily talking about all that, but this is rampant in Christianity. You read something and you just assume that it's true. Well, I read it. Great. Okay, but doesn't mean you should say it. and doesn't mean you should convict. You know why pastor does have to defend himself sometimes? Listen to me. You know why pastor does have to defend himself when he really shouldn't have to defend himself? Is because a lot of people read things and just assume that it's true. You never checked the facts. You never went and checked if that was... You never went to pastor yourself and said, Pastor, let me just ask you something. Did this happen? No, you go to your neighbor and say, hey, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what they kicked them out of church. Whoa. Hang on a second. Are you sure about that? Are you sure? Do you know all the facts? You know, pastor is an overseer. And what happens even in my life, I have ministries I'm over, okay? And because of that, I'm very zealous for those ministries, if that makes sense. But pastor sees the whole picture. Well, pastor, I need this person to work. And he may know something. And listen, he don't tell me. And if he does tell me, I don't repeat things. Okay, there's a lot of things I know that you don't know, all right, because of my relationship that I have to know because of what goes on here. But I don't go out and repeat things, okay? Walking uprightly is walking under control, being able to control yourself, all right? If it's a loose cannon and you're just, you know, there's a reason we don't tell some people some things because we don't want everybody to know. Okay? Well, I didn't know that was going on. Good. Good. All right? We need to be careful about this. Or listen, this is applicable to all of us. You know, Brother Chad, you're not being nice this morning. I'm sorry. Okay? I wasn't nice to the teenagers either. But it's applicable to teenagers. It's applicable to my age. It's applicable to your age. We just sit around and we're going to talk about this. No, we just be quiet about it. Okay? Teddy Roosevelt, I really like Teddy Roosevelt. I know he wasn't probably a real godly man, but he was a man. Okay? And Teddy Roosevelt says, if you're talking about a problem without producing a solution, you're whining. Oh, that was pretty good. If you're talking about a problem without producing a solution, you're whining. All right? And that's what you're doing. That's what I'm doing sometimes. I'm going to whine, you know. Well, they didn't do it this way, and they should have. You're whining, okay? You're whining. Anyway. So have yourself under control. Brother Chad, you're not being nice. I'm sorry. I don't want to be. I want to come across in the right disposition. But the position is right, all right? The position is right. You got to have yourself under control. Just because you know something doesn't mean you should say it. That's your tongue. I don't have time to go through everything about self-discipline, but your tongue is the hardest member of your body to control. Bible says we can go to the book of James, if you can control your tongue, you can control any member of your body. That's what the Bible says in James. But most of us can't control our tongue, all right? We just fall down. We want the approval. Listen, why do you tell somebody something? For their edification? For their well-being in life? No, most of it's because we want the approval. We want to be a part of this group, okay? And at that point, you're falling down before the wicked. That's what's happening, all right? So we see that in the life of Moses. Moses was very mean. I mean, Moses killed a guy with his bare hands, okay? He was a strong man, but he had his strength, even physically, he had his strength under control. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians where we were at earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Bible says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery." What is the mastery? It's having control over yourself. Or having the mastery. There are some people that are masters at certain things. They call him, he's a master carpenter. A master electrician. That's a title given. What is that? He's an expert in his field, okay? And the Bible says, every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, excuse me, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest I by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, follow me with this, and we'll be done. If you have yourself under control, all right, physically, mentally, your tongue, all of that, all right, walking uprightly in that regard brings a confidence. All right, now follow me with this. Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. We're going to look at verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh what? Surely. Okay? But the he that perverteth his ways shall be known. What does it mean, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely? He's confident of where he's walking. He's confident of where he's walking. He's confident, let me say this, of how he's walking. All right, I don't fear really what the community thinks about me. Okay, why? Because I've really strived to walk uprightly. I've tried to earn their respect, not because I fall down and just try to appease what they want, but I'm confident in the way, and I am who I am at this point in my life. Does that make sense? And I think most of you in here would say, you're not going to change me at this point in life, okay? I'm not going to... You guys, everybody in here has already heard everything I'm teaching this morning, all right? Pastor Robert Ross has taught it. Pastor Jerry Ross has taught it. You've heard these things. It's nothing new. And at this point, you've already made that decision. Whether I preach it or I don't preach it, you are who you are, okay? I'm just encouraging you to stay that way, I guess. But he that walketh uprightly walketh surely. When you know where the boundaries are, okay? For instance, it's hard to play basketball if there are no out of bounds. It's hard to play dodgeball when there are no out of bounds. Okay? It's hard to play any sport without parameters that keep you within that arena. Okay? It's hard to do that. And so when you yourself put parameters up around yourself, self-discipline, no, I'm not doing this, no, I'm not going to this place, no, I'm not doing this. For instance, this is something I don't necessarily find it in the Bible or anything like that, okay? And some of you, and this is just a personal thing, this is a self-discipline thing, all right? And my mom and dad always did this, and so I started doing it, but I don't go places, I don't go eat places that serve alcohol. Okay, that's a personal, I don't necessarily know that it's in the Bible anywhere, but I don't go eat places to serve alcohol, all right? That's just a personal thing. Now, Brother Chad, does that eliminate, well, haven't you ever eaten here? Probably not. You know what my favorite place to eat in Terre Haute? It's not any of the steakhouses, all right? Not any of those things. You know my favorite place to eat is Chick-fil-A. You know, I don't know of another place, honestly, that will give you better service and are more pleasant to be around than just go, and I really like their food, honestly. And here's another thing. I'm not standing in line. I'm sorry. Some people want to go stand in line for an hour before they're ever seated. Not me. I don't care how good your food is. I'm not standing in line for an hour to eat your food. Okay? Just me. And pay $40 for a meal. I'm a cheapskate, all right? So I just eat cheap. But here's the other thing. You know, I'd rather support a Christian company or a company that upholds Christian standards. So let me ask you, who are you supporting? All right? There was some places, you know. Okay, I'm going to go there. We fought this place. We fought some people that were trying to open up a restaurant that were going to serve alcohol. I don't know if you remember that. We fought them about that, okay? And I haven't given them my business, any business at all, since they got their liquor. Now, before they had that, I had their stuff sometimes. But since then, I haven't given them a dime of my business. So if I'm not going to do that in this community, where a preacher has tried to battle that to keep alcohol from coming to his community, what about another community that maybe a preacher would like to see it taken away in his community too? That always is in the back of my mind. You know, I don't go there. Now, I'm not up here to, you know, bless God, you all. That's a personal thing you have to decide what you do, okay? It's like, Brother Chad, do you go to Walmart and buy groceries? They have alcohol, okay? I go to Walmart, I buy groceries. I go to the gas station and I buy gas, and they have alcohol, okay? I mean, but you have to draw a line. Everybody's got to draw the line for themselves. But what I'm saying is, I have these parameters. I know where my boundaries are. And because of that, if somebody says, hey, let's go here, and it's a place that I don't want to go, you know, I don't have to decide at that moment, let's go here, or am I going to go here? Am I going to hurt their feelings? You know what my answer is? No, I don't do that. I don't eat there. I don't support them. Does that make sense? Now, that's a personal boundary. Well, let's sit down and watch this movie. Let me see. Let me read the back of it. No, I'm not watching this. Okay? That's a personal boundary that I have set. And because of that, I'm very confident in that. Does that make sense? I know this is my boundary. I'm not crossing that boundary. And because of that, I can walk confidently. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely. He doesn't have to worry about, am I getting too close to the edge? No, this is the edge. I'm not going past this edge. All right? In my life, okay, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is. To, what does it say? To who is it sin? Him. To him is it sin. And everybody's got to draw a line of what you consider to be sin and what you, you know, some things are not, like I said, are not necessarily a sin. But if I do something that hurts my conscience and my spirit because I know that I drew a line and I stepped over that line, that's self-discipline. That's walking uprightly, all right? Walking uprightly brings confidence. Self-discipline brings confidence. Self-discipline brings confidence. You know, a young man that has trained in some kind of physical activity is confident in that activity because he has disciplined himself in that activity. Being able to control every part of your body and know your own personal weaknesses. Listen, I have weaknesses. I have things that I struggle with, but I know what I struggle with. And to me, any situation like that is a red flag. Okay, I'm very uncomfortable in those situations. I know, whoa, hang on, this is to me a weak spot, and I have to be careful. If you don't know that yourself, you're just going to keep falling down before the wicked. You got to know what is a weak spot. If you have trouble with things you're looking at, you have to know that's a weak spot. I'm encouraging everybody, all right? See this? It's a flip phone. All right, I love flip phones. All right, we're starting a flip phone revolution. All right, well, I gotta have my smartphone. Why? Why? Well, I'm not getting onto anything sinful. All right, but is it a weight? Is it a weight? How many hours do you spend on it? Well, it's nothing wrong. Okay. How many hours do you spend on it? It's got real. I'm not going to ask my teenagers to do something I'm not willing to do, okay? And you know what I found? It's too easy. You know, I have no clue. I can probably get on the internet on my phone. I have no clue how, okay? But there's too much garbage on there. And you know, when you have 5 minutes, it's easy to pull something up and start flipping through stuff. And the devil knows what you're looking at. Okay, he's not stupid. Well, he can't see. Yes, he can. He's a prince in the power of the air. Okay, I believe that he has control over technology. That's my personal belief. Okay, he's got his fingers in everything, technology. And if you can't control it, get rid of it. I had a smartphone for a while, and I'm just going to give you. I was struggling with my smartphone. Well, Brother Chad, what were you? Listen, does it matter? Why do you want to know? I don't know. Want to know? You know. Mostly what it was. Brother Chad, were you in wicked sin? No. You know what it was? There's a website called Craigslist. All right. I love Craigslist. I love wheeling and dealing on Craigslist. All right. I'll buy stuff, sell stuff. I'm always looking for a great deal on Craigslist. But you know what? I'd spend an hour, you know, on Craigslist. All right. Or finding out knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. All right. I want knowledge. Knowledge. How do you do this? Let's watch this YouTube. And you spend hours on something like that. You know, I can't do that on my phone now. And you know, it's amazing how much time I got back because wasn't carrying something around. Brett Chad, don't you need it for work? Yeah. I need it to talk. I need it to send a text. And I need a calculator because I'm not good with math. That's what I need it for. Okay? And you know what? My flip phone does. You know, honestly, I thought about just getting rid of my phone and getting the CB. Because a CB would pretty much take care of most of that, Brother Abel. I mean, I'd have to have my own channel. So, okay, if you can't control it, get rid of it. All right? And it was becoming a thing that was a weight to me. And yes, was there sin sometimes? Yes. And was it intentional? Not really. But the devil can put something there. And you know, when you see something, men, and even ladies, it's here. It is here. And you can't erase this. The only thing I can do, the Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. You know what that is? That's seeing evil and saying, it ain't worth it to me. I'm getting rid of it. All right? Listen, if you can't control it, get rid of it. And that's what walking uprightly is. I have confidence. Everybody's like, I pull out my phone to do something. Oh, you're in the dinosaur age, you got a flip phone. I'm like, and you know what I tell them? Yep. And you're going to get in a lot of trouble with yours. Brother Chad, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Brother Chad, I don't like that. Well, give it. You know, Pastor Ross always preached against internet. And everybody's got internet now. That's fine. I like the internet. I think it's an amazing tool. But that's exactly what it is. It's a tool. It's not recreation. It's a tool. If I need something, I've got access to almost anything. But you know what that also means? I have access to anything. All right. Stay accountable. Stay where you need to be. Walking uprightly brings confidence. It's a self-discipline. But yes, I've got confidence. Is it cockiness? No. Because I know I'm made of the same junk that anybody else is made of. We are all tempted as men are. Okay? I'm made of the same junk. But for the grace of God, I would be not here today. Okay? It's not nothing I am. It's what God's done in my life. All right? So always remember that. Always remember that God gets preeminence. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, maybe a little bit different Sunday school lesson. I wanted to present it properly. Lord, I pray that we would have self-discipline. Lord, in my life, I know I need more self-discipline in certain areas. God, I pray that we would, because of that, we would learn to walk uprightly. Help us to know where our own parameters are. Help us to not cross those lines. And help us just to keep that as a part of our life. And God, I thank you for the testimony of the men and ladies in this room that I've been able to look up to, that have just been steadfast. You don't have to worry about where they're at. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, I want to strive to be like them. And thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.